Okay, today's daf is Bab Metzia, daf Ayin. We left off in daf Samach Tesam Beis. We're at the second to last skinny line in Samach Tesam Beis. Today, Alana and I are sponsoring the shir in honor of Rabbi Rafael Pelkovitz upon his celebration of 65 years in Rabbanus in the community, which is quite an accomplishment, something we're in complete awe of, and he should have continued Hatzlacha in his leadership in Klal Yisrael. We are holding on at the two lines from where the lines got wide on Samach Tesam Beis. We're going to discuss if a person is allowed to make an arrangement where he rents out either a boat or an animal or anything, and he receives payment for its value if it breaks. Meaning, is that a violation of ribbis? Meaning, if I'm telling you that this is worth $1,000 today, and I don't care what it's going to be worth when you give it back, you owe me. You have to make sure that I get back $1,000 worth. Can I also take rent on top of that? Because once I'm guaranteed the value of it, isn't that just like a loan? So taking rent on top of that might be a violation of ribbis. And then we're going to discuss on Ayin Amud Aleph the din of an apotropus of Yisomim. Are you allowed to use Nechasim of Yisomim to lend out with ribbis? Meaning you're not allowed to generally, obviously, lend money with ribbis, but what if you're dealing with money of Yisomim? The Gemara is going to go through different attitudes that we have with different types of arrangements based on the risk-reward factors of that arrangement. Meaning if you're making an investment that's high risk, low reward, high reward, low risk, high of both, low of both, what our attitude is toward people who make such arrangements. Then the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Amud Aleph is going to have two different suggestions of what to actually do with Nichsei Yisomim, assuming you can't just charge ribbis on Nichsei Yisomim. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to talk about two things. First of all, it's going to talk about this idea of a Tzon Barzel arrangement, which is exactly the type of arrangement we've been speaking about where you give somebody an item and you are guaranteed to get back the value of the item as it was when you gave it, and in addition to that, you want to collect rent money. And the Mishnah is also going to talk about ribbis arrangements with non-Jews, whether one is allowed to lend money with ribbis with non-Jews. The Gemara is going to ask a stira between our Mishnah and a Mishnah in Bechoros, whether the recipient of a Tzon Barzel is considered the owner of that animal, or do we still say that the person who gave the animal is considered the owner of the animal, to nafkamina, for whether its vlados are going to be subject to the dinim of Bechar if the giver is a guy and the recipient is a Jew. And then the Gemara is going to conclude with a discussion whether you can lend money to non-Jews with ribbis, and why there might be a difference between lending money versus borrowing money. There might be a difference between the din d'oraisa versus the din d'rabbanan. And if we get to it, the Gemara is going to discuss the prioritization of loans, that when it comes to two people who both want to borrow money from you, how do you decide who to lend the money to? So let's begin Samach Tesam Beis, two lines before the lines get wide. Svinta, if a person has a boat, Amarav Agra Upagra, a person can make an arrangement where he assesses the value of the boat at the time that he gives it, and he's guaranteed that he gets back that value. If it goes down in value, if it gets destroyed, if it gets lost, he's guaranteed that he gets back that value, and on top of that, he can take rental payment for the boat as well. So Amar Le Rav Kanav Rav Asi Le Rav, Rav Kanav Rav Asi said to Rav, no, I agra lo pagra, I pagra lo agra. If you're going to get a rental payment, then you should not be able to be guaranteed anything. And if you're going to be guaranteed the exact value of the boat, then that boat is a loan. It is not a. It is no longer a rental. And if it's a loan, then you should not be able to take rental payments. That would be ribbis. Meaning, if it were a rental, then any onus, then there are no guarantees on a rental, because a socher is potter from onsim. So if a socher is potter from onsim, there should be any guarantees. And if it's a loan, then there can't be any extra money, then you can't get any rental payments. So the Achronim are already bothered by the Kasha. What do you mean? That just because it is a rental, so that means that I can't be guaranteed the money even in the case of Ones? Sure I can. There is a halacha, the Mishnah tells us, that a person who's on one level of Shmira is allowed to accept upon himself the responsibility of higher levels of Shmira. So a person is a Shomer
shomer chinam can accept upon himself the responsibility of a shomer sachar. And similarly, a person who's a shomer sachar, the Mishnah is going to tell us later on in Daf Tzadi Dalit, can be mekabel on himself, a chiv on sim, like a shoel. So what's the big deal over here? It is a rental, and he's going to have to pay me back because he's accepting upon himself a chiv on sim, like a shoel. So there are two basic approaches that I'm aware of to answer that question. The Pnei Yeshua suggests that yes, halachically he can bind himself to that, but he's not allowed to do it. Meaning, it's true, a socher can accept upon himself the chiyuvim of onsim of a shoel, but by accepting that arrangement, he's in violation of ribbis. Meaning, he'll have to do it, but it's a violation of a ribbis midrabanan to do such a thing. The other approach that's suggested, I think, by Achronim, is that there's a big difference between a situation where he's being mechayiv himself in onsim, where he's going to be chayiv he's going to be chayiv to pay based on what it was worth when the ones happened. That's the chiyuv onsim of a shoel, versus where I'm guaranteed whatever it's worth right now when I'm giving it to you, that I'm going to get that back. That's not like a shoel. A shoel, you have no guarantees. If I lend you something and you give me the item back, I have no guarantee that I'm going to get that it's going to be worth the same amount when I get it back as it was when I gave it to you. The market could fluctuate and go up and go down. Yeah, I have no guarantees. So if you were really only being mekabel the chiyuv onsim of a shoel, there would be no guarantee that he'd get that amount of money that it was worth when he gave it to him. It's just that he would, if it, some ones happens, he would receive payment for what it's worth at the time of the ones. So anyway, so the Gemara says it can't be that you make such an arrangement where you get a rental payment and you get a guarantee that you're getting all your money back. So Shasik Rav had no response to this. It seemed like a pretty strong taina against him. Amar Rav Sheshes, my time of Shasik Rav. Why was Rav so shy? He could have responded. Lo Shemina Lehaditanya, did he not know about the following brisa? Aval Pisham Rein Mekabel Son Bars on the Yisrael, even though you're not allowed to be Mekabel Son Bars on the Yisrael, that's going to be our Mishnah and Ayinam and Beis, that you're not allowed to accept a Tzon Barzel arrangement from a Jew. Tzon Barzel arrangement is that he's going to give you his animal or his boat or his whatever, and he's guaranteed to get back whatever it's worth at the time that he gave it to you. Aval Mekabel Son Barzel Min Anachrim, you're allowed to be Mekabel Tzon Barzel arrangement from a non-Jew. Avlamru Hashem paru lechaveru. If someone assesses the value of his cow when he gives it to his friend, Varmelo, Hare pararascha asuya alai b'shloshim dinar. And he says, here the cow is going to be, I'm going to guarantee you 30 dinar back for this cow. Vaniel chasela b'chodesh, plus I'll pay you a rental payment of one sela a month. Mutter, you're allowed to do that. Lefi shalom asa adamim, because you didn't assess the exact value of the cow at the time of the rental. Says Gemara, v'lo asa. What do you mean? We just said that you did. That you said shloshim dinar. That you said that you're going to guarantee 30 dinar. Amar Rav Sheshes, lo asa adam mechayim el le'achar misa. No, the arrangement is that if the animal dies, I'll give you 30 dinar. But if the animal's alive, I'm just giving you the animal back. So you have no guarantee for real that you're going to get back all of the value of what you gave me. Because if the animal was worth 30 dinar when you gave it to me, and it happens to be that the market moved in such a direction that it's only worth 25 dinar when I give it back, it's too bad. I'm giving you back the same animal. It's worth 25 dinar. It's only if it dies that I'm guaranteeing the 30 dinar. And that's okay, because that's not an absolute guarantee, and therefore that's not considered a halva'a. So Rav should have realized he could have defended his position by saying that you could take agra and pagra, you could take a rental payment and be guaranteed that if the boat is gone, if it gets destroyed, that you'll get X amount of value, whatever it's worth today, because if it goes down in value and he returns the actual boat, then you're going to be stuck with that. Then you'll lose a little bit of value. So that you're allowed to do. Amra Papa Hilchsa Svina Agropagra. When it comes to the boat, you're allowed to make such an arrangement where you receive rental payment, and you, if the boat is gone for some reason, if it gets destroyed, you're going to get the value of it as it was when you gave it. V'nagu b'nei kufra agra b'shas mashicha pagra b'shas shvira. And the b'nei kufra have a minag that they would accept a rental payment right away when they would give over the boat, and they would also receive payment for what it was worth at the time that it got destroyed, if it got destroyed. destroyed. Says Mar Atubim and Hagatal Yimilsa, is this really a minhag issue that they're able to be no? Our minhag is we do ribbis. We don't have that minhag. It's not a minhag, it's a halacha. Mishum demasnisa tanya minhaga. No, what it means to say is that since we learned in the Brisa that it's not an issa ribbis in this situation, where if the boat is still standing, you're going to give back the boat regardless of what it's worth. It's only if the boat breaks that you're guaranteeing a certain amount of money. Since that's not ribbis, they're able to follow that minhag, they're able to follow that practice. Amr of Anan Amr Shmuel, Ma'al Shal Yisomim Mutal Al Vosan Beribis. When it comes to money of Yisomim, if a person is in charge of the estate of Yisomim, he's allowed to lend that money with ribis. That's normally this of ribis is only when the ribis is paid from the loveh to the malveh. Over here, it's not being paid from the loveh to the malveh. It's being paid from the loveh to the apotropos, and the apotropos is going to pass that on to the Yisomim. So that's mutter, Rav Anan says. Because they're Yisomim, we're allowed to just feed them an Isser. This is an Isser Daraisa. There's Allah lo safin lo biyadayim. You're not allowed to give children an Isser. You're not allowed to feed your kids chazer treif. You're not allowed to give kids an Isser in general and allow them to do to enable them to do an Isser. So how could it be that because it's children we're allowed to do the Isser of ribis? Yasmi da achli da lav de tu lezul basar shivkayu. If Yisomim are benefiting from things that are not theirs, if they're stealing or they're violating ribbis, they belong where their parents are, which is quite a strong statement, meaning they're going to follow where their parents are. They became Yisomim by their parents dying, they're going to die too, meaning they're not allowed to be in violation of Yisurim. So even though Rav Anan reported this in the name of Shmuel and Adam Gadol, especially in Dine Mamanis, that in Apachabas of Yisomim is allowed to lend money with ribbis, Rav Nachman, who was also a great expert in Dine Mamanis, did not believe that Shmuel actually said this. He thinks that Rav Anan was extrapolating based on something that Shmuel had said and was drawing his own conclusions. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Anan, Amrlei, Emli Ezeguftov Dahechiava, tell me what exactly happened with Shmuel that led you to conclude that you're allowed to lend money of Yisomim beribis. So Amrlei, Ahududud de Bnei Marukva, Dava Beimar Shmuel. He says, because I saw that Shmuel was in possession as an apotropos of a copper kli that belonged to the Yisomim, that belonged to the children of Marukva after Marukva had passed away. So he was in possession of something that belonged to Yisomim. Takil v'yoyevle, takil v'shakele. When he would give it to people, when he would rent it out to people, he would weigh the copper kli before giving it out, and he would weigh it again when they would return it. So in addition to receiving rental payments, he wanted a guarantee that it was worth exactly what it was worth when he had initially given it. And shakel agra v'shakel pischa, he would take a rental payment, and if it went down in value, if it went down in weight, he would also take, on top of the rental payment, the compensation for how it went down in value. And that's ribis, because he agra lo pichsa, vi pichsa lo agra. That if you're going to get a rental payment, then it's a rental. Then whatever it goes down in weight, that's an ones, and a socher is not chayiv in onsim. And if you're going to say the socher is chayiv in onsim, so that means that that it's a loan, that it's not a schirus. And if it's a loan, you're not allowed to take extra money, you're not allowed to take schirus money for it. So the fact that he was willing to do that with Mar Ukva's children's kalim said to me that since he's dealing with the item of Yisomim, you're allowed to do this kind of arrangement with items of Yisomim. Amalei ki ha, afilu b'dekanani nami shari lemavid. Nah, to do such a thing, that you're allowed to do, that story doesn't prove anything about charging ribbis for items of Yisomim. That you're allowed to do even if it was older people, even if it was kids who didn't have a din of Yisomim anymore. Da mekabli alayu chuscha denachsha dekame demakli nachsha batir dame. He says, it's not when a kli nechoshes loses some of its weight, it's not just the missing nechoshes, the missing weight, weight that's gone, but the actual rest of the kli goes down in value as well. The remaining nechoshes goes down in value because of that. So that's what he's receiving compensation for. The remaining nechoshes, the fact that there's an onus of the lost weight, so that's fine. That's part of the rental agreement that he's that socher is not chayvin. But the remaining nechoshes is not part of the rental agreement. So that's that is what he received payment for. Amar Rab Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chisav, Amar Rab Bar Yosef, Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ma'u Shel Yisomim, Mutal Alvosan, Karov L'Schar, V'Rachel Klavsid. When you have money of Yisomim, Ribis Dal Reisa is not allowed, but an arrangement that's Karov L'Schar, V'Rachel Klavsid, where you give out the Nechasim of Yisomim for investment, and you say, whatever loss comes of this, the Yisomim have no share in that loss. But whatever benefit, whatever gain, whatever profit is made, the Yisomim do have a share of the profit. That is a ribis to Rabbanon. You're allowed to do that with Nechasim of Yisomim. So a lot of different things to talk about over here. First of all, Ravana Amar Shmuel had said initially that you're allowed to be Malva beribis when it comes to Nechse Yisomim. Says the Rashba, Rav Anan thought even ribis ktsutsa midaraisa you're allowed to do. And that's what's changing between the beginning of the Gemara and the end, that he understands that Apotropos of Yisomim is not Mekabel the money himself, it's the Yisomim, and the Yisomim are Ketanim, they're not Chayavim Mitzvahs, they're not Bechlal the Yisr, and therefore it's Mutter, because they're Ketanim, we're not Chayavim in Mitzvahs. The Ritva writes that since the Yisomim are not included in the Yisr Ribbis, so we're not Musar in it at all. The Yisr of the Torah is only Ribbis that goes from the Lova to the Malva. The Yisr on the Lova is because the Yisra on the Lovis to give ribbis is only when the Malva is not allowed to receive the ribbis. But if the Malva is not Bechal the Yisr, Memela the Lova is not Bechal the Yisr either. Meaning, even though there are two sides to the Yisr of ribbis, and therefore you would think it's fine that the Yisomim are Katanim, so they're allowed to receive the ribbis. Why am I allowed to give them the ribbis? Because it's a relationship. And if one side is not Chayiv in the ribbis, the other side is not Chayiv in the ribbis either. The Rashba writes, even the Shita in Yevamos and Kuf Yudalid that Katan Ochel Nevelos Bezdin Mitzuvah Na'afrisho, that when you see a child doing an Isser, it's Bezdin's responsibility to stop him from the Isser. And we darshan from Pasuk Lo Sachilum that you're not allowed to be Machil Katanim Advar Isser. He says, no, over here it's different because the Yisomim are not the ones that are actually lending the money. They're not doing any Isser B'Yadayim. So since they're not doing any Isser B'Yadayim, that was Rav Anan's Hava Amina. So that was the idea that you're allowed to be Malva Beribis. So that leads to a whole discussion. Is that Yisod true? That whenever one side doesn't have the Isser, Memela the other side doesn't have the Isser either. Tosus raises the question, how Rav Anan could have thought to be Malva Moshe Yisom Beribis, even if the Yisom aren't Bechlal the Isser, the Lova is Bechlal the Isser. So Tosus has a couple of terutz. First he says that Rav Nachman could have answered that, but he had a better response to why Rav Anan was wrong. I mean, Rav Nachman criticized Rav Anan anyway. But then Tosa says that the Lova is not in violation of Nisra of Los Sashich unless the Malva is also in violation. But when there's no Isra on the Malva, Mele, there's no Isra on the Lova. So that's a Yisod that Tosa suggests as well. Then we discussed how the Rav Nachman didn't like this idea because, what, just because they're Yisomim, Safina Lehu Yisura, you're going to feed them an Isser in the Chidushim HaMiuchasim L'Ritva. He said, why is Rav Nachman so bothered by this? How could it be that you're being Machli Yisomim Mo Shal Ribis? The Gemara had already said on Daf Nun Zayin and Beis that you're allowed to be Malva Mo Shal Hegdish Bar Ribis, so L'chora, money of Yisomim has a din of Hegdish. That if you're dealing with money of Yisomim, so it has the status of Hegdish. So the Ritva writes that money of Yisomim is dinim kahegdish only in the sense that you're not allowed to take from them for things that for a hedyot would be mutter, because a hedyot could be mochel, whereas moshel Yisomim they're not b'nei mechila. In that sense, it's like Hegdish, that Yisomim can't be mochel, but it's not actually Hegdish. I mean, as far as giving Yisomim, so you're not allowed to give to a hedyot, you're not allowed to give to Yisomim either. So So it's not actually a din of hegdish. Just it's like hegdish in the sense that they're not b'nei mechila. But that's it. That's as far as the comparison of hegdish goes. Then there's another important discussion over here. Until what age are people considered yesomim? So what did the Gemara say? Oh, Rav Nachman said, tell me exactly what the story was. So he told him the story was with the copper and they waited. He says, that even b'takanani you'd be allowed to do that. What does bidikanani mean? So we translate it, even with older people. Well, at what point does a yasom get old enough that he's not considered a yasom anymore? And you would say bidikanani, that he's someone who's just a regular guy. So pashtus is bar mitzvah. Right, pashtus, you would assume that as soon as he's a gadol, so then he has the status of a regular guy. The Maril writes in Shuvan Siman Lamed Zayin, Yisom Ketanim is until the age of bar mitzvah, until 13. Once they're bar mitzvah, so then they're gadolim. Shumas Adashin quotes from the Smak, disagrees. That says that Shumas Adashin, Siman Shin, that a yasom, even though he's already bar mitzvah, if he doesn't have the level of das necessary to run a business, he doesn't know how to borrow and lend, and he doesn't know how to deal with money. So most 13-year-olds don't know yet how to properly run a business. Every once in a while, you have a kid who's in the fifth grade is already running a business, taking advantage of all of his friends. But usually you don't have like that. So if he doesn't yet know how to run a business, so then he's not. Then he would still be considered a yasam. The Biar Gra is mochiach from the lashon of our Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say ha afilu begedolim nami shari, which would have been the normal term you'd expect it to use. But dekanani means a lashon of zakan, of a beard, that when he grows a full beard, when he's whatever, 18, 20 years old, so at that point he's already in the smali zakano, at that point he's already not considered yasam. I once got a shayla, someone who was on a board of an organization that gives money to make chasanas for yasomin. So they had a shayla, at what age is someone still considered yasam? A guy was getting married for the first time, he was 45 years old, and he's getting married for the first time, so he wanted money from the organization, because he's Yasom, his parents were no longer alive. So a 45-year-old man, they're still going to pay the money for the. Where do you draw the line of what's considered a yasom? So this is one of the marmakomos of where you draw the line. Obviously, you can't consider it bar mitzvah. They're paying for chasanas of yasomim, so they're not bar mitzvah boys that they're paying for. Okay. So we had just said that Moshe Yisomim, you're allowed to lend when it's Karav L'Schar V'Rachok LaHefsid, meaning a Ribis Rabbanan situation is permissible for Moshe Yisomim. Says Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, once we're on the topic of Karav L'Schar V'Rachok LaHefsid, we should realize that when it comes to regular people entering into such arrangements, Karav L'Schar V'Rachok LaHefsid, in a typical situation, Russia. That's considered Russia, that is a violation of Ribis Midrabanan. If you're guaranteeing yourself to get paid back and you're going to split the profits, that's a Ribis arrangement. Karav Lehefsid V'Rachok L'Schar, if you're giving someone capital to invest, or you're giving him an item that he's going to use for an investment, and it's and you're willing to take half of the losses, and you're not going to take half of the profits, Chassid, so that's a very nice thing to do for somebody else. Nothing wrong with that. Karav Lezeh Ulezeh, or Rachuk Mizeh Umizeh, if you're willing to take a very high percentage of all the losses, and a very high percentage, you're assuming a lot of risk and a lot of reward, or you're assuming very little risk and very little reward, Zui Midas Kaladam. Well, that's what we call an investment. That's a normal thing that people do. So those are the four different types of arrangements, and discussion whether they're good or not good. Now, the idea that a Yasom is allowed to have this kind of Ribis Rabbanan arrangement is an interesting discussion. Why would it be that you're allowed to do it? Because that you're allowed to have such an arrangement for Yisomim. The Pischei Tshuva writes in the name of the Magen Avram in Yerodei and Simen Kuf Samach Sivkan Chav Beis. Pischei Tshuva quotes the Magen Avram in Arachayim Simen Reish Beis, who quotes from Shibalei Aleket, that you're allowed to be Lova Bribis for Sudas Shabbos or for Sudas Mitzvah, meaning maybe that's the idea with Yisomim, that it's a mitzvah to support Yisomim, so maybe Ribis Midrabanan is allowed when it's Litzarech Mitzvah. Mishaburu quotes from Achronim that no, that's from a Goy or mi Yisrael b'derech heter. But you're not really allowed to cut corners on ribbis for a tzarech mitzvah. So there's a discussion in the poskim. What about if someone it used to be that when someone was publishing a sefer, so it cost money to publish a sefer. It still costs money to publish a sefer. So nowadays people get dedication, so people donate money to publish sefer. But it used to be much more common that people would lend money to publish a sefer. You need $10,000 to publish a sefer. You'll borrow $10,000 to publish the sefer, and then you'll sell so many copies that you'll be able to pay back the loan. So now that no one has such confidence that they're selling so many copies that they're going to be able to pay back the loan, so they get dedication. So the question was, if you're borrowing the money to publish a sefer, can you include in the Sharblat, you know, special thanks to so-and-so for making the publication possible, because they made the publication. That's what we would typically call ribbis devarim. Ribbis devarim is a type of ribbis midrabanan. So do we say l'tzorach mitzvah to be marbitz Torah? You're allowed to violate ribbis rabbanan. So Rav Moshe has a famous shuv in Yerdei Chelek Aleph Siman Pei rather, where Rav Moshe writes that you're not supposed to say thank you. Don't say we thank so and so. You should just make it a statement of fact that the zchus of harbatzas haTorah yamud lo lazaro, whatever, you say something, some sort of automatic, that it's true, that when someone is marbitz Torah, you state that that's a wonderful zchus. But you're not allowed to say thank you, because that's already you talking to him, that's already a ribbis devarim. That's what Rav Moshe saw. A lot of people were medayik from Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe held saying thank you is a violation of ribbis devarim. That if you borrow money from somebody, someone lends you $10,000 to say, oh, thank you so much, that's already a violation of ribbis devarim. So others weren't so convinced that that's what Rav Moshe meant. I think his children said that's not what he meant. He meant in this context, in the sefer, where it's not just standard standard midos tovos, that if someone gives you something that you say thank you very much. So but if someone it's to go overboard, you know, to go beyond, if someone and beyond what would be a normal just courteous response, that's a violation of ribbis devarim. But with just being a mensch, just saying thank you when someone lends you money, that we generally assume that almost all the poskim nowadays assume is not a violation of ribbis devarim. Okay, Armelei Rabbi Rav Yosef, Hani Zuzi Dias Mihechi Avdin Lahu. Great, you just told us we can't lend money of Yisomim with ribbis. So what do we do? How do we handle money that belongs to Yisomim? Samlei Mosfinu Lu Beidina. You give it to Beis Din, v'yavinu zuza zuza, and Beis Din will make sure that the money is taken care of properly, and they'll slowly give one zuz at a time to the Yisomim as needed, as the Yisomim require the money. So there's no investing the money of these sums, so it's eating into their estate every time you give them money, and nothing's happening to it. It's not growing. It's not, so they're gonna, the money's gonna be gone by the time they become gedol, and that's not right. So what do you do? So he says two suggestions. Well, first suggestion is as follows: but kinan gavra disle dava pricha. Find a guy who has a lot of gold. Because typically if a guy has gold, it means it's his own. People don't give gold to other people as a pikadon. So find a person who has a lot of gold. Find a very rich man who's invested in gold. V'naktin andav aminei. And take gold from him in the value of whatever it is that the Yisomim have. V'yavinu lu ne'alei karv l'schar v'rachok le'afsid. And give him the assets of the Yisomim. Give him whatever you have for the Yisomim where he's meant to invest it. Where he's going to assume the risk, but the Yisomim will split the profits with him, because we said you're allowed to do that with Yisomim. With Nichsei Yisomim, you can make such an arrangement. Why do we need someone with gold? Because if let's say he loses the money, how are we going to get the money from him? How are we going to be guaranteed that he's going to pay back? So we take as a pikadon, we take as a mashkon, so to speak, that gold. So if he loses the money, we know we have gold in that value that Beis Din is holding on to. You can take gold, but you can't take, you know, an expensive kli or anything else that he might have, because maybe that's not his. Maybe it's a pikadon that someone else had given him. And whoever actually owns it is going to come give simanim and be able to take it away from Beis Din, and then the Yisomim are going to be left high and dry. They're going to be left with nothing. This guy lost all their money in his bad investments. Whatever he gave to the Beis Din wasn't really his, and there's going to be nothing left for the Yisomim. So that's why gold is the best way to go, because if it's gold, it's not a pikadon that anyone else had given him. That's really great if you could find people who keep gold around, but you know, good luck. You're not going to find people who have gold lying around their house so easily. So what? If you can't find that now, all of a sudden the Yisomer are going to lose money because there's nothing else you could do other than Bezin just holding on to the money of the Yisomim and slowly releasing it, slowly giving it to them as needed, and all the Keren is going to be gone. It's going to be slowly eaten away. Ella Am Ravashi. Ravashi says, I have a different etza. You don't need someone who has gold. Chazin and Gavra de Meshafu Nichse. Find someone who's Meshafu Nichse. What does that mean, says Rashi? She Nechasav Shketin Etzlo Ve'in Irur Al Karka Osav. Someone that, you know, you haven't heard any rumblings about. There's no tainas against his karka. Umehemin, and you know he's a trustworthy person. Vishama Dinda Raisa, and you know that he's an observant Jew. Olam Kabel Shamta Drabanan, and he's never had to be put in any sort of Shamta Drabanan, any sort of Cherim because of his practices. Meaning, you have to, at some point, you have to trust people. You can't lose trust in that only if it's a guarantee. I need gold. If it's not short of gold, you can't live life like that. There has to be someone that you say, he has a good reputation, he's never gone afoul of any halachos. So, okay, so that's a person who's, it's responsible of us to entrust such a person with the chasm of Yisomim. A guarantee? No, there are no guarantees in life. And you give it to him in the Beis Din and let him leave whatever he leaves in the Beis Din as a collateral, and we trust that it's not someone else's pikadon. Whatever he's leaving in Beis Din, we're going to have to trust that it's actually his, assuming he's a trustworthy enough person. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, two basic ideas. First of all, the Tzon Barzel idea that we've been speaking about. Ein mekablin tzon barzel mi Yisrael mipnei shu ribis. One cannot be mekabel tzon barzel from a Jew, a tzon barzel arrangement, because such an arrangement is ribis. So what does that mean, a tzon barzel arrangement? Two explanations in Rishonim. Shitas Rashi is that the person giving gives to the mekabel nechasim almanas, that the mekabel will invest it and will try to make some money off of it. You give him tzon almanas, that the perus of the tzon are going to be chatzi lemekabel v'chatzi lenosein. They're going to split the profits, and the mekabel is mekabel on himself all the achrayus. If it dies, if it gets ruined, he's going to pay it all back to the nosein, and he has to give him based on the value that it was worth at the time that he was mekabelit. That's the way we've been explaining it the entire time. That's what its own Basel arrangement is. You're giving me $1,000 worth of sheep, I guarantee, even if all these sheep drop dead tomorrow, I'm going to give you back $1,000. If I'm able to make another $1,000 off of these sheep, 500, 500, we'll split that money. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosos, Dibra Maschel Ein, that the mekabel gives a schar kavua v'kotzov to the nosein each year, whether there's revach or whether there's no revach, and the achrayas nechasim is on the mekabel. It's not that they split whatever profits there are. It's that he says, I'm going to pay you $200 a year for this. There may be $400 of profits 1 year, so it turns out that they're splitting it. There may be $300 of profits 1 year. There may be $1,000 of profits. But it's a set amount that he gives each year. But the key is, what Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi agree on, is that the mekabel is guaranteeing that the actual item that he received is definitely going to go back. The value of the actual item he received is definitely, so there's zero risk for the nosein. That's ribis, because if there's zero risk for the nosein, that's a halva, it's not a pikadon, and as a halva, you're not allowed to take extra money. But you're allowed to make such an arrangement with an Ovid Kochavim. And once we mention an Ovid Kochavim, Velovin Mehen Umalvin El Son Beribis, you can lend to them and borrow from them, from Ovdei Kochavim, with Ribis. The Rosh writes that the Yisrael, who's Yatza Minachlal, the Kafar Be'ikr, you're allowed to also be Malvin Beribis. Meaning when we say Nachrim, it's not only Nachrim, even a Kofar Be'ikr, a Mumar, is also like a Nachri in this regard, that there's no mitzvah to be mefarnisim, and therefore there's no mitzvah v'chei achicha yimach. So therefore, when the mumar gives ribis to Yisrael, he's not in violation of lifnei iver or lo tashich, because it's mutter to be malva beribis, since you're allowed to borrow from him beribis because you're allowed to lend him beribis. And again, that's the assumption that many Rishonim make, that it's a reciprocal relationship, that if you're allowed to borrow from someone beribis, you're allowed to lend to that person beribis. So the same is true with the Yisrael Mumar. That's what the Rosh writes in Shulchan Aruch. He paskins laheter, that you're allowed to be malva lemumar beribis. The Rama writes, yesh machmirim v'tov lahachmir, if you could avoid such a situation, that it's kedai to try to be machmir about such a mumar. Nosei kelim have long discussions. Difference between a mumar lahachis and a mumar l'teyavon, a meshumad who's yatzim mechlal and he considers himself to belong to a different religion versus someone who's just not interested in religion at all. It's a lot of chiluke dinim, not a simple matter at all. We generally try to avoid all ribbis situations with other Jews. V'chein beger toshav, malvi Yisrael ma'osav, v'chein beger toshav, the same is true by ger toshav, that also has the din of a guy. Malvi Yisrael ma'osav shal akum midas ha'akum avlo midas Yisrael. A Yisrael is allowed to lend out a non-Jew's money, beribis, to another Yisrael because it's not his own money. He's serving, he's working for a non-Jewish bank and he's lending out the bank's money, beribis, as long as the bank is aware of it, as long as the non-Jew is aware of it. But he can't do it based on his own das, that's how he chooses to invest the money. Says Gemara, going back to this Tzon Barzel situation, the idea that a Tzon Barzel arrangement disaster suggests that when I give you something with its own Barzel arrangement where I'm guaranteed that I'm going to get it back, it's now considered yours. It's a halva'a. So it's not the milvelo tzon. No, when I give you something, it's as a loan, it's yours. So that money is yours. Says Gemara, lememru de berushusa de mekabel kaima. Is that true that when you have its own Barzel arrangement, that the animal, let's say, that I gave to him to invest with is considered to belong to him? Or Reminu, I'll ask you a stira from Mishnah Bechoros, ha mekabel tzon Barzel min anachrim. If you have its own Barzel arrangement from a guy where the giver is a guy, the recipient is a Jew, v'lados p'turim min ha-bechora. The offspring of that animal are pater from bechora. Now the halacha is, the firstborn animal of a Jew is chayiv in bechora, as kedushas bechor. Firstborn animal of a nachri is pater from bechora. That's why Jewish farmers nowadays, they do a mechira. When they have an animal that's going to give birth, they do like we do a mechiras chametz. They sell the mother to a non-Jew so that it will belong to a non-Jew and they don't have to worry about kedushas bechor. You don't want animals that have Kedusha walking around your farm in America or whatever, even in Israel. We don't have a base of Mikdash. We don't have any options. So we sell it to a guy. So over here, what do you see? That it's Patur min ha-Bechor. Why is it Patur min ha-Bechor? Because it still belongs to the Nosein. It doesn't belong to the Mekabel. Amar Rabbi lo kasha. Had the Mekabel lei unsa v'zula, had lo kabel lei unsa v'zula. It all depends what exactly the guy's, the Mekabel, and what exactly the Nosein is accepting responsibility for. Meaning if the Nosein says, zero risk, I don't care what happens to it, I get all my money back, then ein achinami, it belongs to the Mekabel. But if the Nosein is accepting some risk, if it, let's say, goes down in value, he says, okay, look, if it's totally gone, I want to get paid back. But if it just goes down in value, a couple of dollars or whatever, so okay, so that amount of loss, I'll assume. So there is some loss that he's still assuming. So that's what the Mishnah Bechoros is talking about, where it's still considered to belong to the guy who's the Nosein. Amalei Ravi, Idu Kabalei Maru Unsa Vezula, Tzon Barzel Karisalei. But that's not Tzon Barzel. If he's accepting upon himself some risk, that's by definition, you can't label that Tzon Barzel. So that can't be what the Mishnah Bechoros is talking about. Va'odin, if you're going to call that Tzon Barzel, even when a person takes upon himself some risk, Adatani Seifa. So in our Mishnah, when the Seifa wants to tell us how a Tzon Barzel arrangement could be mutter, so Avl Makablin Tzon Barzel Mena Akum, instead of coming to a case of a guy and say, oh, you want to know it's some Barzel case that's mutter? A guy. If you deal with an Akum, then it's some Barzel case is mutter. Well, if you're going to label it some Barzel, even when the Nosein is accepting some level of risk, so that would be its own Barzel case that's mutter. Liflog bididei. Bamed varamamurim delo kabalayun savazula. When is its own Barzel case problematic if he wasn't makabal any risk? Avil kabal maruun savazula. But if he was makabal some level of risk, shabir dummy, then it would be okay. Then it would be mutter. Ella amaravi idivi idi delo kabalay maruun savazula. Both our Mishnah and the Mishnah Bechoros is where he was not makabal any sort of risk. Vigabi Bechoros, haino tam de vlados patur min ha-Bechora. You want to know why the vlados are put from Bechora? In the case of the Mishnah Bechoros, Karos, Kivan di ilo yoiv zuze, asi nachri tafas al behema. What happens if you don't pay up? You don't have the money to pay the exact amount that it was worth when you got it. So what's the nachri going to do? He's going to go and he's going to take the animal. V'ilo mishkach la behema, and if he can't find the animal, tafas al vlados, he'll take the vlados of the behema. So since that's going to be the first place he goes to collect, if you can't pay up, v'avle yad nachri be'emtsa. So that's considered a situation where there's what we call yad nachri be'emtsa, where the guy's hand is right in the middle of the situation. Whenever the yad nachri is be'emtsa, so that's going to be pater from the dinim of bechora. So that's why it's going to be pater from bechora in the case of the Mishnah in Bechoros, even though it's really a full tzon barzel arrangement. Says Gemara, mar b'hono b'neshach v'tarbis l'chonein dalim. If a person gets rich off of ribis, so l'chonein dalim yikabtzenu. What does that mean? My l'chonein dalim. What does it mean? It's his money is going to be given to chonein dalim. Amarav kugon shvor malka. It means like the non-Jewish king is the Melech Paras is going to take the money away from such Jews and give it to dalim nachrim. He's going to give it to non-Jewish poor. Meaning you think you're going to get rich off of ribis, you're not going to get rich off of ribis. If you end up charging ribis to people, so then the government will just tax your money even more, and they'll use that for all sorts of services that they provide to other people. But a person is not going to get rich off of ribis. So Bez Hashem will pick up there tomorrow, where the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of whether it's mutter or aser, and whether there might be an issur drabanan of lending money to Gayim with ribis.